Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to the latest in our series of special podcasts. This one is dedicated to Empire's 100 Greatest Movies of All Time list, the 2017 vintage, which is out now in the new issue of Empire, on sale in all good and evil newsagents, priced just, what's the price, Johnny?
£4.70
to read an amazing feature on the 100 Greatest Movies as voted for by you, the Empire readers slash listeners. And it's an incredible list. And also in there, we have a whole bunch of lists from amazing directors, people like Edgar Wright and Ava DuVernay and Rupert Wyatt and Scott Derrickson and Lona Scherfig and Chris McQuarrie and James Mangold. All sorts of amazing people have contributed their lists. Matthew Fawn's in there as well. It's extraordinary stuff. But we're going to be here over the next hour or so talking about the list itself, the top 100 films as voted for by you. And joining me to do so, you've already heard one of them. He's Empire's deputy editor, Johnny Pyle.
Hello, Chris, mate.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
You happy with the list, Johnny?
You can never be entirely happy, can you?
No, you can't be.
With a 100 list. But yeah, there's some good stuff on there.
I think it's a really good list, really solid list this year. And 100.
Exactly 100, yeah.
Not 500, not 301, which we've done in the past. 100.
100, exactly. And yeah, we've counted them a number of times, and it does appear that 100 is the number we've come to, and there are 100 films there.
100 is a magic number. And also here to talk about the list is the man who I watched him actually collate your votes. It took him ages, drove him baldy. It's James Dyer.
I did. In fact, you have no real way of knowing whether or not this
you
is
were
the actual list.
It up.
I could have put anything down there.
No, you would put Farscape in there, even though it's not a film.
Yeah, well, Nuns on the Run would have made the cut if I'd actually had complete carte blanche.
So. Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Democracy is alive.
It's a fine list. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the list in general, just about how we feel that lists have changed and how people's tastes maybe have changed over the last few years. And then we're going to go into the list, not film by film, because we don't have that kind of time, but we are going to break it down into groups of 20, talk about those, and then we'll hopefully talk a little bit more in detail about the top 10 or so. So the list in general, it is in the new issue of Empire. If you want to see it, it begins with Stand By Me, Rob Reiner's movie. It ends, spoiler alert, with The Godfather at number one for the second time. First time since 2008.
That's right.
Now, I find that interesting. I find it interesting that the number one film of all time, voted for by the Empire readers, seems to change every single time. It was The Godfather in 2008. Then it was, if I'm right in thinking, it was The Shawshank Redemption. And then it was Empire Strikes Back. And was Fellowship ever up at number one? I can't quite remember. But, you know, it does seem ownership of the title seems to change hands.
Well, you go back to 95 and Pulp Fiction was number one.
Wow. And that's something that is very zeitgeisty at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's one thing about that very first 95 list, which is very different to this list now, which is that, Pulp Fiction, a year old, was suddenly number one. We've got no film that is a year old or even close to that in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, the idea that you know, you often see a lot of these lists, and people will vote for things that they've just seen. So you get that a lot. You'll get I think with the last list we did, the 301 greatest movies of all time, which was in 2014, there were a lot of movies on there that I think had just come out.
Right.
I think looking back in the cold light of day, you might be a little bit annoyed that they were on the list. Things like Man of Steel and Transformers, movies like that you know aren't necessarily even objectively good films. So it's kind of interesting that they were they were high up the list. I mean, they were like 295 or whatever, but you know, it's still interesting that you have that people go and see a film, it's on their mind and they vote about it. I'm fascinated that Godfather is number one, and there's nothing really that new on here. Some of the new entries are Guardians of the Galaxy and La La Land and Whiplash. Damien Chazelle's had a cracking list, but there doesn't seem to be that much from the last couple of years that has pierced people's consciousness. What's your take on that?
Godfather doesn't surprise me, because Godfather, I think, has been the most consistent achiever in our polls. So obviously number one this time, it was number two last time, it was number one the time before that.
Uh-huh.
The time that Shawshank came number one, I don't remember where Godfather placed, but you can bet your life it was in the top 10.
It was absolutely top 10.
You know, I think things rise and fall. I'm always quite surprised by the fact that knowing the readership as I do, that
intimately,
that while Empire Strikes Back didn't win last time, that Star Wars isn't, you know, always dominating this list, because that is what traditionally our readers bang on about more than anything else. So it's quite interesting to see the variety to it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think people vote for The Godfather because they genuinely... I'm just using The Godfather as an example, okay? Do you think they vote for The Godfather and other movies of that ilk because they genuinely feel that these are the greatest movies ever made, or because they feel that they should be seen to be voting for movies like The Godfather?
Well, that is the question. It's kind of twofold, isn't it? People partly vote what they want people to think of their favourite films as opposed to what are their actual favourite films. But then even there, there is a distinction between
favorite
the greatest
and
films and... Yeah, greatest and favourite. So if I were to vote for my favourite films, it would be Commando, Nuns on the Run. You know, it's by no means the greatest films ever made, but things that mean something to me.
I think I'm the only person in this room whose favourite film of all time is actually also objectively the greatest film of all time, which is Evil Dead 2.
Incorrect. It is in fact Aliens, and I hold that particular title.
Johnny, what's your favourite film of all time? Well, what's your...
I mean, it changes. So we did 7 favourite films last year, and we've just done our top fives again. Yeah. For this, but the one that always stays there at number one is Back to the Future. Always stays.
Perfect film. Apart from the fact that their legs don't catch fire, which I noticed last night. I was just thinking about this.
I mean, there are a number of problems with that film, but there are a number of problems with every single film. Like, I just...
Not with Evil Dead 2, mate.
I fail to believe that he would have fallen for that I'm Darth Vader from Vulcan trip. I just don't think it would happen.
I don't know, put yourself in the shoes of a naive, shy, nervous young man from the 1950s, and this thing turns up in your bedroom with this noise that you've never heard before. You'd absolutely brick your pants. Of course you would. I'd buy that for a dollar, maybe. But I just, it's an interesting list, and it's an interesting I don't think there's anything on here that is sending people into an apoplectic rage. The reaction seems to be very, very good on Twitter so far. I had one Twitter follower today lamenting the fact that Edgar Wright's Hot Fuzz is one place above Rear Window. Well, get this, mate, it's two places above Seven Samurai as well. But I think this is indicative of people's changing tastes, and also the fact that Hot Fuzz is something that is very fresh, very modern, even though it's 10 years old. Oh my God, it's 10 years old.
Mm.
And it's always on ITV2, whereas I don't think Rear Window is.
No, it's on ITV4.
It's on ITV4, along with the cricket, the Premier League cricket every now and again. What do you make of that? Do you think people's tastes are changing? Do you think the way we consume films is changing?
I think it's what's on people's minds, isn't it? I mean, you had 10... slots to vote for, so you can only pick 10 films, and you are going to pick, first of all, films that come to your mind. You know what I mean? I don't imagine how many people are sort of trawling through the IMDb to make sure that they've thought of every single possible entry. Mm. You know, and if they haven't seen Rear Window recently, it's probably not on their 10 list.
Also, do you vote tactically when you're doing something like this? You know, do you think about, because how it works is, if I'm right in thinking, that we give numbers. So if you vote for something number one, it gets 10 points. If you vote for something number 10, it gets 1 point.
Yeah, that is exactly how I work.
There we go.
Pulling back the curtain completely.
There we go. That's how it works. So if you're putting a list together like this, say, for example, there's a film I absolutely love. Say I wanted to put Happy Gilmore on the list. I wouldn't, because I know that no one else would vote for Happy Gilmore, therefore it would be completely wasted vote. So maybe that's why you vote for The Godfathers and The Godfather 2s of this world. Even they're great films. I'm not saying they're not great films, and I'm not saying they don't deserve to be in a list. But I'm saying maybe that's why people vote for them en masse.
But it is also, I mean, just the mathematics of it. So if you're putting a film consistently sort of ones and twos, if it's very high up on everyone's list, it's obviously the magnitude of points it scores become untouchable after a while. So you get some films which will have appeared on maybe more lists, but they were always down the bottom of the list.
Mm.
So
they just
don't get the traction. Well, Force Awakens, which isn't on this list, was voted for by a great number of people, but it was always positioned 9 or 10. It's not on the list.
That's really interesting as well. Like, because we wondered where it was. And now you've told us. But we really genuinely thought Force Awakens would be there.
But interestingly, Force Awakens got fewer votes than Rogue One, which actually got more. Presumably because it's more in people's minds because it's more recent. And because people have that short a memory. But that did actually get more points, but again, not enough.
But also, Rogue One is triumphant.
It is, as you say, triumphant. I know that because it says on the DVD box, but only on the US release.
That's fascinating, though. Do you think that means that for all the box office... And for all the hullabaloo about The Force Awakens, said maybe the bloom has come off the rose a little bit since it came out?
I don't think so. I think it's still... I mean, look, the prequels voted for as well. Do you know what I mean? There's no accounting for taste. It's, I don't think the bloom has come off the rose. I think there was that instant sort of surge of excitement because it was the return of Star Wars. So I think, you know, that would have covered up a great many sins, I think. I think the film is still very good, and I think people still have a great deal of affection for it. But I think if you do have a great deal of affection for The Force Awakens, you are likely to have more affection for episodes 4, 5, and 6. And the voting kind of bore that out, because those ones were regularly in people's top fives.
That's genuinely surprised me. I mean, I know the list. I looked at the list. I've talked about the list with you guys in the office. But for some reason, the fact that The Force Awakens isn't on there didn't occur to me. Of course, the answer to all your, oh my God, where is that film? Rages is it's at 101. It came in at 101. Whatever film you think should be on the list just missed out by one vote. It was so sad. Here's an interesting one. The biggest film of all time.
I know.
Avatar.
That was a notable omission as well. Didn't get many votes, if I'm honest with you. I found the lack of voting for Avatar quite surprising.
I find the lack of voting for Avatar
disturbing. But then it kind of speaks to the same issue that Titanic often has, in that it does tons of money at the box office, and then there seems to be some retrospective, you know, almost visceral backlash to it, where people pretend they didn't love it as much as they clearly did love it when they saw it 5 times in the cinema.
But Titanic is there.
Titanic is there, yes.
Where is it?
It's 97.
97.
I mean, it's just there, but it is there.
We'll get to that in a second. I think it's a really strong list. It's a really interesting combination of critically acclaimed classic films, blockbusters, and movies that have really grabbed people by the throat over the last few years. Maybe could be a few more foreign language movies, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But I think it's a good solid list. Right, should we count it down as best we can? Right, well, we'll go and do blocks 20. We'll talk about them generally, and then we'll get to the nitty-gritty of it as we go on. So it starts number 100, Stand By Me. 99, Raging Bull. 98, Amelie. That's an interesting one. 97, Titanic. 96, Good Will Hunting. It's a 1997 double whammy. 95, Arrival. New entry, Arrival. 94, Lost in Translation. 93, The Princess Bride. 92, The Terminator. 91, The Prestige. That's an I didn't think that would be on the list. 90, No Country for Old Men. 89, Shaun of the Dead. 88, The Exorcist. 87, Dominion, prequel to The Exorcist. No, I'm kidding. 87, Predator. 86, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. 85, Leon. 84, Rocky. 83, True Romance. 82, Some Like It Hot. 81, The Social Network. That's pretty much my entire DVD collection, weirdly enough.
What do you make of that? Why were you surprised by the inclusion of The Prestige, which is, isn't it generally regarded as the best Nolan film?
I think it's probably his best film, but I didn't think anyone else thought that. Genuinely, I loved that film. It was my number one movie the year it came out in 2006. I haven't revisited it very often, in fairness, but I don't know. I just thought people would... I'm sure we'll get more Nolans on the list. Colleen might be on there as well. You never know. But I'm just a little bit intrigued that for many people, I think that's one of the lesser Nolans. That's one of the ones that slip through the cracks. It's not quite Insomnia, but it's
yeah, I mean, I think when you say lesser Nolan, I don't think it is a lesser Nolan, but I think it's a lesser known Nolan. Like you have to name Nolan films. Mm. People would mention The Batmans. They would mention Inception and Interstellar. But I think... If you just go to my friends who aren't on the mag or whatever, they're just normal people, then I don't know that they would necessarily be able to mention that one.
It's the only one, I think, since Batman Begins that hasn't felt like an event. It hasn't felt like he's trying to, you know, both bust those blocks and go for Oscar at the same time. You know, it's not a movie of the size or the scale of the Batman trilogy or... you know, Inception or Interstellar. It's a smaller movie, admittedly with great big wacky movie stars in it, but I don't know. I'm really glad to see it on the list, but weirdly enough, I'm not sure if I would put it in my top 100, but it's certainly an interesting one. Predator on there, you must be happy, Jimbo?
Well, I'm not happy because it should be in the top 10, but I'm pleased to see it there nonetheless. Arrival is an interesting arrival, if you will, in that it's obviously quite a recent one. I mean, yes, it's in people's minds, but I do wonder whether that speaks to... you know, just how good a film that is. Although, spoiler, Sicario doesn't appear which to my mind is certainly the better film of his.
But a lesser-seen film.
A lesser-seen film, so perhaps that's where it comes down to. Interestingly, also in the block, we've just looked at The Terminator at number 92, which we won't encounter Terminator 2, spoiler, until we get to 25, which is a significant difference. And I've always maintained that Terminator 2 is superior to the original, but that's quite a polarising view, so...
Do we know which director has the most entries on the list?
No, I had meant to work that out, but then couldn't be bothered.
We'll do it as we go through.
All right. It'll be Tarantino, Scorsese, or Cameron, I'm guessing. Maybe Nolan, who knows? Maybe Edgar Wright, who knows? All right, okay.
No Spielberg?
He's had his shot, hasn't he?
It's probably Spielberg, isn't it?
It's probably Spielberg. All right, let's go. The next 20, next batch of 20. Number 80, Spirited Away. Ooh, interesting choice. Bit of Miyazaki. 79, Captain America, Civil War. What's that doing so low on the list? Furious!
Be thankful it's on the list.
Oh, unbelievable. 78, Old Boy. 77, Toy Story. There's a double bill. 76, A Clockwork Orange. There's a triple bill. 75, Fargo. 74, Mulholland Doctor. Oh, sorry, Mulholland Drive. Stupid way they present that, the poster. 73, Seven Samurai. 72, Rear Window. 71, officially better than Rear Window, is Hot Fuzz of ITV2 fame. It's number 70, The Lion King. 69, Singing in the Rain. 68, Ghostbusters. The original version, not the Paul Feig version.
Brackets 1984.
Brackets 1984. 67, Memento. 67, Memento. 67, Memento. There's a... joke there. 66, Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. 65, Avengers, the superhero one, not the dreadful one. 64, La Confidencial. 63, Donnie Darko. 62, new entry, it's La La Land. Mm. And 61, Forrest Gump.
I think the interesting thing about your Memento joke was it was actually a Groundhog Day joke.
Yeah, I know. I should have done it backwards, shouldn't I? Oh, well. Hey-ho.
How do we feel about La La Land being on the list? This year's La La Land.
I think it's very interesting that it's next to Forrest Gump, because I think both those films are going to have similar places in people's hearts and heads over the next few years, in that they'll go, did I really like that film? I love La La Land. I think it's fantastic, and I love the soundtrack. And I think we all love the Forrest Gump soundtrack, but the film itself has faded into memory. So I'm actually as intrigued by Forrest Gump still being on the list, because I don't know anybody who likes that film. James likes that film.
I like that film.
I'm sticking my hand up.
Johnny likes that film. I'm outnumbered, really. When was the last time you revisit it? Is it something that lives on
for you? The
thing
you have to understand, Chris, is that stupid is as stupid does. And no, I think it's lovely. I think it's a really sweet film. I think there is no situation in which it's better than Shawshank Redemption. But no, I like Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot.
La La Land, I think it's great. A lot of people loved it. Big, big hit. Won most of the Oscars, and maybe you could be a little bit more surprised it's not higher up the list.
Yeah, well, it's not one of the 100 greatest films ever made, let's be honest, but it's certainly it's the second best film that I watched last year, even though it came out this year, just to make a really weird point. it's lovely. I do think it's, as you say, one that might fade from memory a little bit over time, but we'll see.
I think the two interesting films in this 10 are possibly the Disney and the Pixar, because they are not the best Disney and Pixar films, but are they the only ones?
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
Toy Story isn't even the best Toy Story film.
It's a very good point. You're absolutely right. I agree with you on both points. Although I do love The Lion King. It is probably my favourite of the Disney traditional animations.
That is very, very true. I mean, Where the Hell is Up?
Yeah. Where the hell is Wall-E?
Up for me is Pixar's true masterpiece.
Yeah, I agree.
Not Toy Story.
Ratatouille
is very good as well.
Yeah, get out of town.
I know. But maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's not there. People don't like it as much as I love it.
Maybe it was 100 greatest animated movies of all time, it'd be higher up the list. You never know. But yeah, you're right. Lion King ahead of Jungle Book and ahead of all those other great animated movies.
I'm on board with that.
Frozen is not on the list.
And we can all thank our lucky stars that is true. Frozen is catchy, and Frozen has good songs, and Frozen has a good message, but it is not, a masterpiece.
But Frozen has had probably the biggest cultural footprint of any animated movie that I can remember. I mean, it's everywhere. It's still everywhere. But do you think people have just let it go? Go! There we go.
We're just working up to that.
There we go.
I think it's mainly down to the fact that kids would probably vote it, but kids probably didn't vote widely in this particular vote. And adults, anyone with children, is so utterly sick to death of it that they probably didn't want to vote for it either.
Okay. So this is an election in which the young people did not vote.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. They didn't galvanise.
Okay.
They weren't out.
The calcified electorate have returned this verdict. All right, here we go. The next batch of 20. Number 60, American Beauty. Number 59, E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Number 58, Inglourious Basterds. Number 57, Whiplash, New Entry. Number 56, Reservoir Dogs. So two QTs there. Number 55, Pan's Labyrinth. Excellent choice. 54, Vertigo. Which is officially worse than 53, Psycho. Number 52, Once Upon a Time in the West. Not Once Upon a Time in the Midlands. Number 51, It's a Wonderful Life. So we're getting a whole smattering of older films now. Number 51, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 50, Lawrence of Arabia. Number 49, Trainspotting. Number 48, I'm surprised this is actually so low down, The Silence of the Lambs. 47, New Entry, It's Interstellar. 46, Citizen Kane. 45, Drive. Interesting. 44, Gladiator. 43, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 42, There Will Be Blood. And 41, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. 41, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. 41.
Oh, stop.
Anyway, yes.
Pan's Labyrinth, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the second of only two foreign language films on this list. Am I right in saying? If I missed something out?
Seven Samurai.
Oh, Seven Samurai. Yes, of course.
Spirited Away, we technically count the Spirited Away.
I like the dub version with Michael Chiklis, I'll be honest with you.
Amelie.
Yeah.
And then
Amelie, Seven Samurai,
Pan's Labyrinth. So Pan's Labyrinth.
Moments of the Lord of the Rings films.
Yeah.
Yes. Congratulations then to Guillermo del Toro. You are officially the director of the greatest foreign language film of all time. Love Pan's Labyrinth, and we have been big supporters of it ever since it came out 11 years ago.
Although, no foreign language within the top 50. That's a hard Brexit right there.
That is a hard Brexit. I'm not judging the Empire readership at all. But, yeah, that's intriguing. There's a whole bunch of QTs. There's a whole bunch of Hitchcocks in this little batch as well.
Mm. And also, in many ways, often cited as the greatest film of all time, at 46, Citizen Kane. Which is, I'm not surprised it's that low down given our readership, because, I mean, while it's an undeniably great film, which listeners to the podcast will know, I have now seen, I don't think it's in people's, you know, top five. Certainly, looking through the votes, it was rarely in the top five, and I think where it was in the top five, they were among other films that spoke to either a very sort of cinephile type person or someone who really wanted their list to seem worthy.
Citizen Kane is a film that you respect and admire, but it's not a film that you are emotionally attached to, I don't think.
I think so.
Again, it comes down to the debate between greatest and favourite, doesn't it?
Mm.
If you're putting together greatest list, then probably you would consider putting it on there. Favourite, I don't know how many people put on. And, you know, people are going to be hissing and booing at the podcast listening device in a second, but I don't know how many people put on Citizen Kane for shits and giggles over a weekend. I don't think how many people go, oh, it's Friday night, I'm going to hit some of that hot Citizen Kane action. I don't think that's quite...
But then the criteria for greatest film has surely moved on at this stage. What makes a great film?
These days, if it's in focus, you're doing well.
Well, I mean, is it cultural impact? Is it technical achievement? You know, what actually is it? Because otherwise, something like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is arguably one of the greatest technical achievements. The New Jungle Book is one of the greatest technical achievements. Does that make it a great film, an influential film?
No.
Okay.
Sorry to shoot that. No, I think great film is fantastic filmmaking. Not necessarily envelope pushing, but certainly Citizen Kane has that. Indelible filmmaking that has something to say that lodges in your brain and maybe makes a cultural impact as well. That would be what I would define as a great film.
Interstellar. What do we think? Interstellar at number 47, which we gave 5 stars to.
You gave 5 stars to me.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, no.
But yeah, there aren't many films in this list that I, you know, would quibble with being on the list. Forrest Gump is one. Interstellar is certainly one. Drive is another one. I've never been part of the cult of Drive. I've never been a devotee of it. It got better in retrospect when they made Only God Forgives, which is just so awful. But I still didn't love it at the time.
I am with you, actually. I mean, I like the soundtrack, mainly because we listened to it every day for about 6 months. Much like La La Land, to be honest.
Yeah.
But no, the film, I mean, it was fine. Was it one of the greatest films ever? No.
But, couple of good things came out of it. Yeah, you're right, the soundtrack. Number two, The Leather Jacket. Everyone loved that. That's good fun. And three, it set Ryan Gosling on the sort of, not comeback trail, but it set him on the path, I think, today to being what he is.
Not to be pedantic, but was it a leather jacket?
I don't know what the fuck
it was.
I'm
pretty certain it was a kind of velveteen bomber jacket or something.
All right. Who died and made you Hugo Boss? Honestly. All right. Here we go. Next batch of 20. Number 40, 12 Angry Men. Number 39, Saving Private Ryan. Number 38, New Injury. It's Mad Max Fury Road. Number 37, The Thing. Number 36, The Departed. Number 35, The Shining. Which is set the highest entry in this? Where the hell is Evil Dead 2? What?
Not even the best Evil Dead. Let's move on.
Don't, you're an idiot. 34. Seriously. No, where's Evil Dead 2? 34, Guardians of the Galaxy, new entry. And is that the highest new entry? That's the highest new entry. Guardians of the Galaxy. Interesting. 33, Schindler's List. 32, The Usual Suspects. 31, Taxi Driver. 37. Number 30 is the film 7. Number 29 is The Big Lebowski. Number 28, Casablanca. Number 27, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Number 26, Heat. 25, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. 24, The Matrix. 23, The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, which is the lowest placing Lord of the Rings movie. Number 22, Apocalypse Now, which is the lowest placing Apocalypse movie. And number 21, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
It's a hell of a block, this.
The fuck is Evil Dead 2? I want names. I want a list of names of people who did not vote for this movie.
It was at 102, 101, of course, being Army of Darkness, which is better.
I'm seriously saying The Shining is the greatest horror film of all time.
It's not even scary.
Well, anyway, I'm saying this block is pure Empire Heartland. I absolutely love this block. I could spend many, many days watching everything in this bit. It's so exciting. Terminator 2, The Matrix, The Two Towers, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Heat! Heat. This is so good. Same,
this is possibly,
Taxi Driver.
This is probably, in terms of running time as well, the longest block. If you sat down to watch these 20 films, you'd take a week, easily.
Like, good to see Mad Max Fury Road up there. I'm quite pleased with that.
Yeah, so it's probably the two highest new entries in the list are Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a film as regular listeners to the podcast will know I love. And I'm intrigued that it's on there because, as you will also know, I think it's the best Star Wars film since Return of the Jedi. So I think it's intriguing that it's on there ahead of actual Star Wars films. And then you have The Thing, which is one of the greatest horror movies ever made. And The Shining is very, very good.
Brackets 1982.
Brackets 1982. We should technically probably have put it as John Carpenter's The Thing, as opposed to The Thing, the other prequel, and The Thing from Another World, the Christian Leiby film. I love The Thing. I absolutely adore it. The Departed is an interesting one for me. I wasn't sure that had stuck around in people's minds either.
Mm. No, that's a good shout. But yes, I know what you mean. I'm in many ways not as good as Infernal Affairs. But,
Well, again, Nick in the office was absolutely apoplectic about this being even on the list, anywhere close to it.
What, The Departed?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, of all the films on here, if he was here right now, he would be going absolutely psycho.
I didn't realise he was a Departed hater.
How did he feel about Psycho?
He's nonplussed.
Is he? I didn't know he was a Departed hater either. You learn interesting things. I learned you guys like Forrest Gump, and Nick hates The Departed. It is, I should point out, the best Jack Nicholson wielding a dildo film on that list. I don't know if he does one. It does wield one in The Shining. I don't know. It's intriguing.
The Matrix at 24. That's lower than it would usually appear on one of our lists, which is quite interesting.
Is it because it's aging?
It's hard to say. I must admit, I'm surprised that wasn't top 10. I'll be honest. I absolutely expected that to be top 10.
What wowed us 18 years ago is
still wows.
Less
I saw it recently.
Wowing.
It's wowzers. So good. But then all the others are so bad. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I think we're getting into the sort of realm. We've been here for a while, actually. Largely, this is not debatable. That these are stone-cold classics of cinema. That's very, very hard. It'd be very hard to put a top 100 together, a list together, and not have a lot of these titles on.
Although Guardians, I would argue, more than The Departed, is more of a controversial one. And not because I'm saying it shouldn't be there, but because A, it's recent, and B, it's one of the Marvel movies. And that brings in... So Marvel on this list, we've got Avengers, we've got Guardians, and we've got Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
We have three in there.
Yeah.
Which are, in many ways, the best three. So at least that does kind of pan out.
Yeah.
There's no Iron Man 3 in there.
Although a lot of people love Iron Man. If you ask a lot of people, they go, oh, my favourite Marvel movie is Iron Man. And it's like, well, you realise they've remade Iron Man a couple of times just with different names, and they've improved upon it each time. So there are better versions of it out there. But I love Iron Man 3, and I love Winter Soldier as well. I'm kind of surprised Winter Soldier, I don't know if it was tickling the balls of the top 100, but...
I think Civil War took that particular crown.
Civil War.
Yeah, I think Civil War took that, which is the only Marvel movie, of course, that we've given 5 stars to.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting there. But, no, I agree with you. I think Iron Man 3, having watched it again recently, is, I think, I mean, it's so far and away the best written of them. And it's loads of fun. It has a very different tone to it. I love Iron Man 3. But I'm pretty happy with the ones that are on here.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Marvel films split the vote? Is there a thing where you're like, well, I'll put one Marvel film on a list and then... they have to choose, and since they've got so many to choose from...
quite possibly.
They're lower than they possibly might be.
I'm just trying to rack my brains for this. As I recall, Iron Man split the vote. There were lots of Iron Man votes, but they were for variously different Iron Man films.
Let me guess, nobody voted Iron Man 2?
I don't think they got many.
Okay.
But I think Iron Man and Iron Man 3 definitely split the vote. Interestingly, with Toy Story, the same thing happened. There were lots of votes across the Toy Story spectrum. 3 got quite a few as well.
But no one's voting for all three.
Yeah, but no one votes for Toy Story 2.
Well, so this is the interesting thing for me for The Godfather, that because The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2, I would imagine, would split the vote as well.
Yeah.
That Godfather places so high, so consistently. That speaks to its greatness.
It's a very good point, and I had a big fight with Terry in the office because she wrongly believes that The Godfather Part 2 is better than The Godfather. But yes, you're right.
She's correct.
She's in no way correct.
Incorrect.
It's not even close to being correct.
She's right.
No. Someday, and this day may never come, I will call upon you. Yeah, but you're right, and The Godfather Part 2, spoiler, will be in at number 12, so...
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just ruined that for you.
Yeah, I have, haven't you? All right, here we go. I say we're in the Stolen Cold Classics. I would argue that Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind does not deserve to be in this list.
You are wrong on so many levels. Again, a film that is infinitely better than Evil Dead 2.
But James, if you refer to my earlier argument, no film is better than Evil Dead 2. All right, top 20. We'll do 20 to 11, and then we'll go through the top 10 as best we can. Number 20... Die Hard. Right, this list is a sham. This list is a disgrace. What the hell is Die Hard doing outside the top one? 19, Jurassic Park. Number 18, Inception.
Inception.
Number 17, Fight Club. Number 16, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. And our list appears to definitively settle the argument, which is better, Alien or Aliens? Not in our favour, Jimbo, because number 15, Aliens. Number 14, the inferior Alien.
A message to all our readers, you're all fucking idiots.
Number 13, Blade Runner. Number 12, The Godfather Part 2. And number 11, Back to the Future.
Interesting.
All right, good, good, good.
Another lovely block of films.
I would not have Inception on the list either.
What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
It's his best movie.
It is by far his best movie. It is one of the best movies.
We discussed it was the best movie was.
Well, yes. In my opinion, Inception is a better film because I had this discussion with someone recently where they said, would you ever consider writing a screenplay? And I said, no, I would not. I said, why not? I said, because I didn't write Inception. And in many ways, Inception is the perfect screenplay. It is genius. It is layered. It is textured. It's the kind of thing that just blows your mind when you look at it. And if I can't write Inception, I don't want to write anything.
You realise there are other... movies.
There are other better films, but just as a screenplay, as a concept, as an idea, and as an execution, there's something about Inception which is just something to which many things must measure themselves against.
How do you know you didn't write Inception?
Yes, perhaps I did, and then they Christopher Nolan just went into my brain and laid the germ that I didn't. That seems unlikely.
I didn't even write the feature. I wouldn't put it past him. Alien above Aliens. What an outrage. This is the big debate, isn't it? This is the one that splits everybody down the middle.
I'm not going to lie, when collating the results of this list, there was only one almost hand of God moment where I thought very long and hard about exercising my power and subverting democracy for the greater good. For the greater good. In the interest good. Of the world at large. I thought I would right this particular wrong, but I didn't. I left it wrong as it is. Alien is a great film. It is one of the greatest horror films ever made, but it is not worthy to polish the jackboots of aliens.
Except James Cameron has since ruined Aliens by making it 40 minutes longer.
17 minutes longer.
Feels like 40. Feels like an hour.
I'm actually with you on this point. I do vastly prefer the theatrical cut.
You can still
Aliens
get the theatrical cut, though,
you
right?
You can get it's, both, it's not but... like... The special edition is the one that Cameron prefers, wrongly, and the one that is generally seen. And it has great stuff in it. The sentry guns are great. There's some lovely establishing shots. There's a bit where they show you know, what the details of what happened to Ripley's daughter, which is irrelevant. But the biggest problem with the special edition, and I may have spoken about this at length before, but I'm going to do it again, is that it destroys the tension because you see Newt and her family discovering the alien ships. You know exactly what is happening at Hadley's Hope, whereas... You know, the idea of not knowing, of not having any clue what's happened, I think is really powerful.
Except you're watching a film called Aliens, so you have a vague idea.
It's not a huge leap of logic. But equally, they have a fake-out followed by a fake-out. So you have the bit with the motion trackers where they pick up a signal and they go and it turns out, oh, look, it's a hamster. And you think, oh, exciting. And then they do it again and it's Newt. Whereas in the theatrical cut, the hamster has been cut. Again, right.
Poor hamster.
Poor hamster.
It does have the great sentry gun sequence, though. That's
yes,
really fun.
That is a good sequence. It was a shame to lose that particular one. Yeah. That's the only thing I would salvage from the special edition.
But if you're saying James Cameron has retroactively ruined Aliens, then we have to apply the same argument, surely, to Ridley Scott, who has ruined Alien by making Prometheus an Alien Covenant.
I can't argue with that. He has lessened it.
Although I expect them to both to be placing very highly on the next list. Prometheus was in the last one. It was on the 301 Greatest Movies of All Time list. Yeah.
I think since Alien Covenant, Prometheus seems a much better movie.
I'm with you.
We're saying Blade Runner, or the readers are saying Blade Runner is the best Ridley Scott film as well, which is an interesting one. Gladiator is also on the list. All right, here we go. Top 10. Number 10, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Clearly the best Lord of the Rings. I'm happy it's there.
I've come around to this. I always used to say The Two Towers was the best.
You contrarian mother.
No, but partly because it's all action. There's no filler. There's no epilogue. There's no prologue to it. It's just all action. Well,
no, they go walking with those trees for ages.
Okay, yes. That's the intermission.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It looks like we planned that now. Oh, it looks like we planned it and we didn't plan it. And I've just, like, walked into this.
You did.
Treasy does it.
Indeed. I now concede that The Fellowship is, in fact, the best.
You know me, I'm not a huge fan of these movies.
You're mental.
But this is the best one.
Mm.
Is it the 10th greatest movie of all time?
No.
But, you know, it is the best one. It has the best character arcs. It actually has people you care about dying or in peril. It has, you know, Ian McKellen as Gandalf the Grey, which is the better version of Gandalf. It has good action sequences. It has those little funny fellas with the feet running around. What are their names? Anyway, it's all good. Number 9, Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Oh, yes.
That's your comment.
Oh, yes. Love me some Star Wars. That is my favourite of the Star Wars films.
Yeah, mine too.
I will take that.
Really?
Empire Strikes Back. Yep. Yes.
I'm in a room with... Forrest Gump loving New Hope. All right. No, it's very, very good. It's very, very good. Number 8, Jaws.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Jaws. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for a number of people at Empire, that's, I believe, the number one film.
Really?
Who?
Certainly it was Ian Freer's favourite film.
Mm-hmm.
He used to beat Mark Dinning, formerly of This Parish, was his favourite film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah. It is great. It is amazing. It is peerless. It is peerless, which is why it's number 8. Number 7, it's another Spielberg. It's Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Have they dropped that title now?
Yes.
Is it just now officially once again?
We had this discussion in the office because technically that's what it has been retconned to be, but that's not the name of the bastard film, so I refuse to allow it to be called that.
Hang on, which way are you going? Sorry.
It's just Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark. But then by that rationale, Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope should just be called fucking Star Wars.
No, but Raiders of the Lost Ark appears on the screen. Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark never appears on the screen at the start of the movie, right? But now Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope does appear on the screen on the crawl.
He's right. Okay. He is. You are. Where's Lethal Weapon 2 in this list?
That's right. We never mentioned last time we came into this booth that Patsy Kensit was walking out as we came in.
That is right. Mm. Only I recognised her.
That's right.
As well. She was in here recording something. I was like, is that Patsy Kensit? And then she left and we walked in, she said hello to us in a way as if you say, oh, just a very nice thing to say, Patsy Kensit. And all I could think of was Lethal Weapon 2.
You just wanted to go, diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity. Right, number six, Goodfellas.
Unsurprising. Goodfellas is always in the top 10. Normally in the top 5, actually. He said with absolutely no evidence to back that up. I reckon it's probably always in the top 5. Let's see where it was last time.
All right. Yeah, highest placing Scorsese. Was the next highest placing The Departed? The Departed above Taxi... Number 5, Pulp Fiction. Remember when I said there was nothing on this list to get your blood pressure up? Slowly but surely my blood pressure is rising. Number 5, Pulp Fiction.
You surely must have no objection to Pulp Fiction at number 5.
I've got no objections to Pulp Fiction, but I've got objections to The Departed being seen as a better Scorsese movie than Taxi Driver.
I am with you on that. I think we all know it should be Kunden.
I mean, there's a number of Scorsese films that The Departed is not better than, that it is placed higher than.
Yeah.
I mean, just name one.
All of them.
Well,
apart from the one about the boy at the train station.
Hugo, yeah. Best Scorsese film for me is King of Comedy. What's yours, Johnny?
Well, boringly Goodfellas, sorry. But let's say something else, just Mean Streets, because that's not on the list.
That's fine. Good choice, Jimbo.
Kingdom, we've already discussed this.
All right,
Pulp Fiction, without doubt, by leagues, the best Tarantino film.
That is not true.
It absolutely is true.
That is not true.
What is your favourite then, you contrary creature?
I'm not contrary. I just recognise greatness when I see it, and his greatest film remains Reservoir Dogs. But I see Pulp Fiction is very, very good and deserves to be in the list.
Reservoir Dogs is definitely his second best.
Kill Bill, Volume 1.
See, I'll be honest, I think it's Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, and then his other films in a kind of order, but they're so far behind those two that it doesn't really matter what order you put them in. I'm not saying I think they're bad, but I think those two films are so superior to his others. They are so much better. And, yeah.
And that's the end of it.
That's my point.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
Guilty.
Pulp Fiction number 5. Number 4. This is still the number 1 film of all time on the IMDb, I wonder. I don't know, maybe I'll look it up. Maybe I won't. Who knows? The Shawshank Redemption.
Yes. Yes, which has been at number 1 before.
It has.
And we got... didn't we get Frank Darabont to do a whole thing for us when we did that?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. I can't remember what year it was. I think it might have been 2005, 2006.
Yeah, so it was the one we did. Like it was the two, was it the 201, issue 201?
Issue 201,
issue 201.
Yes. Yeah. Where we did the 201 greatest films of all time, and Shawshank Redemption was number 1, and Frank Darabont was very, very happy, and the last time I saw him, he had the magazine framed, the pullout.
Bless him.
In his office, which was very nice. Maybe he just put it up because he knew I was coming around, and he just... and if someone from Total Film was coming around, he'd bung up layers as well.
Yeah, probably.
You know.
Well, either way, he needs to take it down now because it's no longer number 1.
It is up.
Burn it, Frank. Burn every copy of Empire.
It's a fucking good film, though, isn't it?
I love this film. This remains one of the few films I've seen twice in one day. I watched it for the very first time, and I was I living with my parents or staying with my parents during a university summer? And I rushed downstairs and I went, you have to see this film. And we watched it immediately again. It's an extraordinary achievement and amazing for a first-time filmmaker as well to make something this accomplished.
I have a very similar experience. I bought it on VHS. It was like $4.99 in Asda, not long after it came out either. And we watched it 3 times that day.
Wow, 3
and
times.
I had the same experience. I watched it on my own and was like, just said to people, you've got to watch this film. You've got to watch it. It's incredible. And it is incredible. It's really in my top 5. We redid top 5s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't put it in because I was like, other people have that graphic created for them. And because we're all doing, we're getting our 5 favourite films on an Empire cover. Share online. And I'd say, well, I don't need a Shawshank one, so I'll get something else put on there. But it really should be. It's just a wonderful, wonderful movie.
I've never watched it 3 times in one day. I did once watch Army of Darkness, the best Evil Dead movie, 4 times in one day at university. I could not tell you why. I could not tell you why. But I did. Anyway, I'm...
No mates, probably.
Probably. It was with people. It was with other people in my house. I think because every time someone else came home, I'd be like, oh, you've got to watch this. And I put it on again.
What's the most times you've watched a film in one day?
It will either be... That Army of Darkness has got to be out there. Star Wars, I think. I've seen Star Wars multiple times in a day, multiple times. Because when I was a kid, it was the only VHS tape I had. So I literally didn't have anything else. And so, you know, your mum goes out, you've got nothing to do, so you would watch Star Wars again and again and again because no one likes to play in the garden. This may explain a lot about me. I don't know if you're joining the dots there.
This may explain a lot about me.
Yeah.
Mine is a tie between Commando...
Yes.
...and the Care Bears movie.
That's not right.
Both six times.
Very similar films.
Yeah.
But yes, we are all big fans of The Shawshank Redemption.
Love The Shawshank Redemption. Number three, the highest new entry, I guess, or the most recent film, he said, on the list. Number three, The Dark Knight.
Interestingly, this was number three last time as well.
So it's holding steady.
It is holding steady at number three.
It's an amazing film. It's on my... Probably in my top five, maybe drop it down a couple of places now to my top 10 comic book movies of all time. It is an astonishing piece of filmmaking. I absolutely love it. It's aces.
It is ace. I still prefer Inception, but it is ace. I also prefer The Prestige, but it is good.
All right, number two. Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Did that drop down a place? Was that number one last time?
It was number one.
It was number one last time.
Yes.
So dropping down. So it's become rubbish.
No.
In the eyes of the readers, they hate it. They want to burn every copy.
They love it less.
Yeah, the greatest Star Wars movie.
I wonder whether the return of Star Wars hasn't detracted from the Star Wars vote somewhat. I think when Star Wars had finished, when Star Wars was a thing of the past, an artifact, I think people look at it with more reverence. They think, oh, yes, Star Wars, love Star Wars. Now that Star Wars is back, it doesn't perhaps feel quite as special or iconic in the same way. What do you think?
Well, it's still two.
Well, yeah, I know that. And actually, off the top of my head, I don't know what the difference in votes was between one and two.
Yeah.
I can probably look it up. I've got my laptop in my bag.
No, it takes far too much time. Just make it up. It was close. It was very close.
It was close. Definitely close.
Cigarette papers width.
Yes, it was. Oh, it was the narrowest of narrow margins. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. I could be completely making this up, but I do wonder if Star Wars feels less special because it's back and will continue to be back and now, let's be honest, isn't going anywhere.
This is true. But then, I don't know, it might have dropped further down the list had that been the case.
Maybe.
But maybe you're right. Maybe people did vote for Rogue One and Force Awakens and maybe those films will supplant these films, the old films, the original trilogy, in the consciousness of people and the affections of people as time goes by.
Only in the affections of morons.
How close did any of the prequels come to getting on the list?
Oh, absolutely nowhere. Like, both Rogue One and Force Awakens were significantly higher than any of the prequels.
But all eight Star Wars films were voted for?
Yes.
So someone voted for Phantom Menace.
In fact, someone in our office voted for Phantom Menace in the top 10.
Not me.
I'm not going to out that particular person.
Not me. In fact, but she'll be sharing her cover.
Yes, she'll be outing herself on Twitter.
Absolutely. Number one. The Godfather. What did we make of that? We talked about it a little bit already. It is an amazing film. It is the second best Godfather film.
And the prequel to The Freshman. So, you know, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's great, isn't it? Love it. I mean, I love this. I love the second one, which isn't as good. I even love the third one, and Terry also does. I don't think it's in the same league as the first two, but it's a perfectly serviceable film in its own right. Gets a lot of hate, Godfather Part 3 does. Unwarranted, I'm saying. If only because it has the phrase Internazionale Mobiliari in it. And I like saying that.
Johnny?
I mean, it's hard to argue with The Godfather, isn't it? I mean...
Well, yeah, in so many ways.
Yeah, if you do, he'll cut off a horse's head and stick it in your bed. I mean, it's.
I think it is the best of the Godfather films. I think it's. I don't know why you disagree with that.
Brando. It's all about Brando. Without Brando, it's just not as good.
The films, the story of Michael Corleone, not.
Ugh, so you
Don
say.
Corleone.
You're one of these people who think Star Wars is all about Anakin's arc, aren't you? Michael.
Which is why I'm so furious that Attack of the Clones wasn't on the list. I mean, that is the definitive Star Wars film. I give it 5 stars. Godfather 2 is a deeper... I'm not denigrating The Godfather in any way. It's an amazing film. It's a 5-star film. It has incredible performances, but The Godfather 2 is a deeper and richer movie, and Michael's descent into hell is a... is a more involving watch for me. And for, yeah, as the thing about The Godfather is, as it kicks into gear, Sonny is the more flamboyant character that catches your eye. But the minute he's Swiss cheesed, Michael steps up and takes the plate, and he is a more compelling character for me, certainly. So that's why I enjoy watching his story. And also, the cross-cutting, that never really been done before, and it's so influential. You talk to so many people who make sequels, and they will always cite The Godfather 2.
You're just quoting Jamie Kennedy.
No, even the makers of Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, will probably have wanted to model it on Godfather 2.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
I mean, this is the thing, we're splitting hairs, right? They're both five-star, absolute stone-cold
I'm
classics.
Not taking sides against the family.
Do you not find, watching The Godfather 2, when a De Niro scene ends and you come back to, I'm going to call it present day, which is incorrect, but you go back to Michael, you're like, I wish I was back.
No, the Michael stuff's great.
It's not, though, is it?
It is.
No, it's, I mean, okay, thing, relatively thing, speaking, it is, it's great, but it's not great. As compelling as the Vito stuff.
I thought I liked you guys. And then I came into this podcast and you revealed things to me over the course of the last hour that have frankly rocked me to my core.
Forrest Gump for number one.
Forrest Gump for number one. You're an Evil Dead 2 hater. You think Star Wars is the best Star Wars film. And now this unprovoked assault on Michael Corleone, which is, I don't know, brave, given the man's drug record, but there you go. Hoo-ah. Right, okay, that is it for this very, very special podcast dedicated to our 100 Greatest Movies poll. Once again, if you want to read the poll, you want to read this incredible feature where we have how many directors? 30 directors, something like, some amazing directors contributing their top 10 lists. In some cases, their top 40 lists. In some cases, they wrote mini essays about the movies that they love. And then pick up the new issue of Empire, which is on sale right now. All Good and Evil News Agents. And digitally as well, priced £4.70. You can't say fairer than that. Our next special podcast will be dedicated to Edgar Wright's Baby Driver. We've got a spoiler special for that coming out at the end of June, beginning of July, so keep your ears peeled for that. Also, do listen to our Mummy and Wonder Woman spoiler specials, which are available for you to listen to right now as well. The regular podcast is out every Friday. If you don't already listen to that or subscribe, then please do so. We would love to have you on board. In the meantime, that's it from us. It's goodbye from Johnny.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from James.
Nuns on the Run was robbed.
Very, very quickly then, your top fives. Go on. What was yours?
My real one, or the one I told everyone?
The covers.
Field of Dreams, uh-huh. Stand By Me, It's a Wonderful Life, Casablanca, Back to the Future, not in that order.
All right, okay.
Aliens.
Uh-huh.
Leon.
Five times.
Predator, uh-huh. Interview with a Vampire, and Nuns on the Run.
Okay, which was a comedy response.
Admittedly, it was a comedy response. I do not believe that is the fifth greatest film of all time, although Robbie Coltrane looks exceptional in a wimple.
He really does. My top five, which has already changed, was Evil Dead 2. That's always there. It's always number one. Then was Shawshank, Die Hard, The Thing, and Top Secret, which is an amazing comedy. Right, that is it. That's a goodbye from Johnny. Goodbye from Jimbo. Goodbye from me. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Chris Hewitt. Goodbye.